Tras un día de lucharla, te mereces una recompensa. Una Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Así que sírvete esta dorada y refrescante lager. Porque tú sabes que cuanto más grande sea la lucha, mejor sabrá la recompensa. Pusiste las horas, el esfuerzo, el trabajo duro. Tú eres un luchador y esta cerveza es para ti. Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Todo con medida, importada por Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So great to have you with us today. Wow, we've got so much to talk about. We need about five more hours to the program, and we're working on that, so we'll keep you updated. I think the staff may bolt. But ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news. Please welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, the one, the only, the lovely Grace Baker.
Hello,
Grace, man. The studio audience here in Memphis is ecstatic
to see you back. They're very kind. I've missed you guys. But I will say one thing, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I have not missed the humidity in the South. I stepped outside. My hair grew about, 2 inches above my head.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I just thought you were in a gospel singing group or
no.
something. The gospel.
Sadly,
hair.
No.
So Grace Baker, the longtime executive producer of the program. What, 3 years?
3 years.
3 years now. Woo. And you and Mr. Producer moved to right outside of Chicago.
Yes.
Who in the world moves to Chicago?
I've had multiple people there. They're like, you moved from Tennessee to Illinois. I'm like, I know. But I did move from Memphis, which is the one blue part of the state.
Well, so. we're very happy to have you back for the next day or so.
Oh, yeah.
And I do have a question, though, and this is an important question. What happened to your Southern accent?
What?
It's gone.
No, it's not.
It's gone.
I still say y'all all the time.
I don't know. I hear is the it, Chicago,
oh,
you
no,
know.
Chicago.
Thing. Yeah, that. That's it. I just
Chicago.
Heard it.
Chicago.
Oh, my word.
Oh,
all right,
no.
we got to get you immersed.
Give me some sweet tea stat.
Get some Milo sweet tea over here to the studios quickly.
In an IV, please.
Yes, our KWAM listeners will immediately activate.
Yes,
so anyway, well, great. Grace, it's good to have you
back.
Good
to be back. Thank
folks,
you.
I know the phones will light up and nobody wants to go on the air. They want to talk to Grace Baker.
And I would love to say hello, whoever wants to call in.
Thank you, Grace. All right, 844-747-8868. Write that number down. It is our telephone call-in line for the day, 844-747-8868. I want to start with this just because it's weird and we've got a lot of stuff going on. But yesterday was National Hot Dog Day in America. And we celebrated here on the Todd Starnes radio program. I talked to you about my love for chili slaw dogs. Well, it turns out that Senator Willard Mitt Romney from Utah, also enjoys an occasional hot dog. And so this guy, by the way, and Romney is, the word is that Romney is actually working with other Republicans, including Murkowski from Alaska and John Thune from South Dakota, to possibly leave the Republican Party if Donald Trump is the nominee. So anyway, Romney's trying to show that he's a regular Joe, and he posted a video, which you can see on our website, toddstarnes.com. Here's how that went. Cut one.
Well, as you all know, today is National Hot Dog Day, and perhaps you also know that hot dog is my favorite meat. I love hot dogs. I love them in buns. I love them outside of buns. I love them with baked beans. I just like hot dogs. It's the best, best meat there is, without question. So to all of you who, like me, are celebrating National Hot Dog Day, congratulations to you, and may there be many, many more hot dogs served in our wonderful land.
A great big wiener eating a hot dog. How about that? So I find it, the whole thing is just so disingenuous. First of all, the hot dog, it had the mustard in a like a little swirly art decorative way. Nobody does that, right? No, you get the, you know what you do, and everybody does this. You've got the Heinz ketchup. That's the only kind of ketchup, right? You got the Heinz ketchup, and you're trying to squirt it, but it won't come down, right? Because it's so thick. So you have to shake the Heinz, and then you get this big glob on the end of one hot dog, and then you get the mustard, and you pour the mustard, and guess what happens? You get that, like, mustard sweat. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the little...
It's disgusting.
It's terrible.
What disturbs me more is that he said he put baked beans on a hot dog.
No, baked beans, not on a hot dog. So when a normal person, hey, would you like a hot dog? Would you like a hot dog? I want hot dog.
What?
Me hungry. Me want hot dog. What is that all about?
It sounded very fake to me.
Me put meat in bun. Look, we don't care where you put your meat, sir. We do not care.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm curious. This reminds me of something that happened years ago. This incident sums up what is wrong with Washington, D.C. right now. There's no authenticity. And it reminds me of years ago, Mike Huckabee and Mitt Romney were going at it like cats and dogs on the campaign trail. It was ugly. And I was actually bouncing back and forth between the two campaigns at the time. And I was down in Florida when I think this happened. I think we were in Florida. So Mitt Romney was trying to bolster his Southern bona fides. So he sat down and talked about how he loved grit. And we're like, well, Mr. Romney, it's grits. It's, you know, grit. There's no such thing as a grit. It's grits. And then he ordered some fried chicken, which is the official gospel bird of the South. And it was a beautiful piece of chicken, I believe. If memory serves me correctly, it was a big, juicy breast of the chicken. And it was fried, and it was golden brown, and the crust looked delicious. And so Romney sits down, and all of the assembled press crew is there, and the press corps, they're gathered, and they're prepared to take that photograph of Romney sinking his pearly white Mormon teeth into that beautiful Southern Baptist piece of fried chicken. And what did that man do? On national television, he desecrated the gospel bird. He took all of the chicken skin, that beautiful, delicious, crunchy skin, and he ripped it off of the chicken, and he shoved it aside. And then he got a knife and a fork, and he began eating the nude chicken breast. It was so bad that Mike Huckabee, and Grace, I know you're looking on, and you're like, there's no way this is true. It was so heinous that that Mike Huckabee held a press conference to condemn Mitt Romney for desecrating the fried chicken.
Kind of sacrilegious in its own way.
This is why Romney lost. He dropped out shortly after that. I mean, that's
don't mess with the fried chicken.
It's kind of like eating a slice in New York with a knife and fork. And by slice, I mean pizza.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No.
I mean, come on. That's just crazy. So anyway, that's what's wrong with American politics. I'm glad. I think we have pretty much summed it up. And we'll try to find some of that Mike Huckabee audio back in the day. The great chicken scandal. I believe it was of 2012. So right now, Democrats on Capitol Hill, they are taking part in a government censorship hearing. And what did they do? They voted to censor RFK Jr. You can't make this up. We're going to get to some of that in just a little while. I want to start, though, with Jason Aldean. It's really getting ugly out there. And Jason Aldean, of course, country music star, has this incredible song, and we have played it all this week. Now the number one song in the nation. People are standing in solidarity with Jason Aldean, but it is getting ugly out there. And now there is a movement afoot to actually cancel his recording contracts. They want this man expelled from the country music industry simply because of this song he wrote. Now, we did a little bit of homework background, and it turns out that one of the big concerns or one of the reasons people are angry is that he filmed this music video in front of a courthouse in Tennessee, And this courthouse was apparently the scene of a lynching of a black guy back in the 1920s, so almost 100 years ago. And they're saying that Aldean did this on purpose and that therefore he should be canceled. Well, it turns out that this courthouse was actually used for a scene in a Hannah Montana movie. Now, Grace Baker, that's your generation of people, young people, right? The little Miley Cyrus before she stopped going to Sunday school. Before she started getting the tattoos and doing unmentionable things on the wrecking ball, she was a good and decent child, and they did a movie there. So my question is, okay, fine, if you're going to cancel Jason Aldean, don't you have to cancel Miley Cyrus? I mean, she filmed an entire movie in front of that courthouse. I mean, this guy just did a music video. So anyway, we have a state representative here, and this is how bad it's getting. This was on CNN, the most profane name in news last night. Caitlin Collins, Lord love her, but she is dumb as a rock. I'll tell you, I have never seen such a horrible host of a show. And Caitlin Collins interviewed a guy by the name of Justin Jones. Now you say, where do I know that name before? Well, this guy is a black radical activist. He doesn't like white people. He doesn't like Republicans. And he hates the state of Tennessee. And this guy, he was kicked out of the Tennessee State House because he was being a jerk. And he also violated the rules, but I think predominantly because he was a jerk. They put him back in, and so now he's raising a big stink about Jason Aldean and says that he is normalizing racist violence, cut number 17.
As a Tennessee lawmaker, as the youngest black lawmaker in our state, I felt like we had an obligation and a duty to condemn this heinous, vile, racist song that is really about harkening back to days past. There's no accident that he filmed this in the site of the Maury County Courthouse where the race riot happened, and where as well as the 1927 lynching of a young man who was 18 years old, Henry Choate, occurred. This song is about normalizing racist violence, vigilantism, and white nationalism, and it's about glorifying a South that we are moving forward from and that we're trying to move forward from here in Tennessee.
Mm. Now, if Ms. Collins had not been dumb as a rock, she would have stopped him there and would have said, well, wait a second, sir, you talk about racist violence. Well, sir, Senator or Representative Jones, is it not true, sir, that you've been arrested for assaulting a police officer? Isn't it true, sir, that in 2020 you were charged with hitting a driver with a traffic cone during a protest? Isn't that true, sir? How do you square that up? Mr. Aldean hasn't been arrested for something like that. Isn't it true, sir, that you also were accused and you were banned from the Capitol because you assaulted a fellow lawmaker? He was, as a matter of fact, according to the Tennessean, Mr. Jones was charged with two counts of misdemeanor assault, one count of disorderly conduct, after he threw a hot cup of coffee into an elevator, striking a female Republican lawmaker and another Republican male lawmaker. So it sounds to me like the violent man here is Justin Jones. And I'm curious to know why Caitlin Collins did not bother to do her homework and call him out. He talks about normalizing racist violence. Well, this is the guy that's going out there as a black man and attacking white people. Just curious. Just, again, I know there's no intellectual curiosity over at CNN, but still, right? I mean, if you're gonna try to lynch, and that's what they're trying to do, this is a political lynching of Jason Aldean. Ron DeSantis was asked about this on Fox. Here's what he had to say. Cut 16.
We need to restore sanity to this country. I mean, what is going on that would be something that would be censored? I mean, give me a break. We're off the rocker here in the United States with a lot of this stuff, with cancel culture, with big tech censorship, with a lot of stuff that the federal government's doing, policing so-called misinformation. We need to get back on kilter and start having a free society again and embracing truth. So I think it's part and parcel of a lot of the nonsense we've seen over the last many years.
Well, it is nonsense. Look, that's a good answer. DeSantis is doing a good job this week. He's had some really bright moments. But we've got to be aggressive in confronting this stuff. By the way, here's Justin Jones again on Jason Aldean, Cut 19.
This is not about ending violence. This song is about promoting violence, normalizing violence, particularly white vigilante violence. And Jason Aldean should be ashamed of himself for promoting this song that seeks our darkest history instead of our better angels in this nation.
All right. So, look, we got to go to break. We're going to open up the phone lines on this. I am not surprised that this has exploded, because now the left is enraged. And why are they enraged? Well, the fact is that most Americans, we all share those small town values, including people who live in big cities. We stand for the national anthem. We pledge allegiance to the flag. We know our pronouns. We go to church on Sunday. We go deer hunting with our grandpa. We believe in the Second Amendment. These are the values that made America great. But those are the values that enrage the pronoun-confused, race-baiting, gun-grabbing activists who want to destroy the traditional American family. And they want to silence any opinion that's different from their own. Hey, here's a thought. You don't like Jason Aldean's song? Don't listen to it. Change the channel. But my recommendation for Jason Aldean, and I just hope and pray he stands his ground here, never apologize for speaking the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me on this. You never apologize for speaking the truth. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com, or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Any Southerner knows that if you're not going to eat the skin, don't bother with calling it fried chicken. And that's good. I'm glad to hear that he did that, because that means I'm going to win Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, all these great southern states who understand that the best part of fried chicken is the skin if you're going to eat it that way. It's also, there's reminiscent, sounds like the time in 1976, Gerald Ford, I was living in Texas in grad school at the time. Gerald Ford was in San Antonio and was handed a tamale, and he tried to eat it with a shuck on. And all that weekend, every newscast in Texas led with President Ford doesn't know how to eat a tamale. He lost Texas, and many believe he lost the presidency, and there are a lot of people who will believe forever that it was the shuck on the tamale, not Jimmy Carter, that beat Gerald Ford in 1976. So, who knows?
Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. Governor Mike Huckabee back in the day. I told you, folks, it was a riot. And look, I think Huckabee has a point. And you know why? Because people want authenticity. Why do you think Donald Trump swept the conservatives in the southern states? Why do you think that is? It's because he was real. Everybody knew he's a billionaire from New York City. You think he's going to come down there and you know, eat fried chicken? Well, he does. But he's not putting on airs. You don't hear Donald Trump talking with a fake southern accent when he's down south. No, he's Donald Trump. And people appreciate that. They really do. By the way, last night, President Trump hosted a private viewing of the incredible movie Sound of Freedom with Jim Caviezel. He was there, a huge crowd, and it was just an amazing night. We're going to play some audio because Caviezel was on Fox and Friends this morning with Brian Kilmeade. And I have never seen a guest treated in such a condescending, rude way. And we're going to play this audio. It's just insane. Just insane. But again, President Trump last night, in spite of everything, hosting a movie, and he spoke afterwards, and it was very clear President Trump was moved by this film. All right, got to take a break. We're going to your calls next. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. We're celebrating a big anniversary with our good buddy Mike Lindell over at MyPillow. 20 years of making MyPillows, over 80 million sold. And now Mike has a great opportunity for our audience to pick up some brand new MyPillows. Get this, you're going to get a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, normally $69.98. And for just $10 more, you can get a king-size. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome Giza Dream bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds. We need to get another one for Merlot. Grace, that's what we need to do.
Yes, little Merlot.
My slippers. Merlot loved that bed.
Yes, she does. She does love that bed.
So again, MyPillow.com/Starnes is our landing page. MyPillow.com/Starnes. And you're going to be able to, whatever you order, you're going to be able to get some great discounts. But if you want this incredible offer on the queen size MyPillow for $19.98, just give them a call, 800-839-8506, or go to the website, MyPillow.com/Starnes. You've got to use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get that 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee, and that awesome, awesome discount. So happy anniversary to our good buddy, Mike Lindell. All right, I want to go back and play this audio. This happened on Fox and Friends. Brian Kilmeade was interviewing the guys from the Sound of Freedom movie. That's a Jim Caviezel. And Kilmeade seems stunned, completely clueless, that there was a massive event at Bedminster Golf Course last night with President Trump hosting this private viewing. Cut 12.
We have to do a lot more. And we got to start with Donald Trump.
What do you mean?
Well, he's got to be in there because he's going to go after the traffickers.
Do you think he understands that?
We were with him last night.
Oh, I didn't know
Bedminster,
that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be moved to do something. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't here last night.
This is the new Moses. I mean, I'm still Jesus, but he's the new Moses. Pharaoh, let my children go free.
All right. I did not know that was an impressive screening at Bedminster, I guess. Yeah. Eduardo, Jim Caviezel, great to see you again. Yeah. Congratulations on all your success. I can't say I'm surprised, but I know how intense you are. And good job.
This is the people's movie. God bless you.
Absolutely. Meanwhile,
thanks, America.
Watch Sounds of Freedom in theaters and pay it forward by buying movie tickets for those that can't afford them at angel.com/freedom.
All right. So somebody was in Kilmeade's ear saying, wrap this up. I mean, they cut it short. How rude. How condescending. What is going on at Fox News Channel? I mean, that's a rhetorical question, ladies and gentlemen. We know what's going on. But this was the major event on social media. Everybody was talking about this last night, sharing the photos. And President Trump and his remarks afterwards were just really moving. And he was clearly impacted by what he saw on the screen. By the way, he sat in the front row and watched this movie. It was all outdoors. And there he is, about 80, 90 degrees up there in New Jersey, sitting there in a suit and tie, outdoors watching the movie. That's pretty impressive. So anyway, it was interesting. Caviezel said something about Donald Trump being Moses. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, oh, that's sacrilege. You know, I thought about that. And I don't think he's too far off the mark here. So we need someone to lead our nation out of bondage, because that's what we're in right now. We are a nation living in bondage. And if you watch the Hunter Biden videos, anyway, there's a lot more of a bondage going on. So where do we go from here? And who is the person that's going to lead us out of the grip of this evil? Is it going to be Ron DeSantis? Is it going to be Glenn Youngkin? Is it going to be Tim Scott? Is it going to be Donald Trump? I see the comparison. Now, on the flip side, Moses never got to the promised land. So just want to keep that in mind if you know your Bible. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, earlier today, yet another reminder that we have many rhinos in our midst. A lot of people have been frustrated by what's happening with the airlines. If you travel a lot, and I know Grace Baker, you flew in from Chicago yesterday, and travel, it's hard getting from point A to point B these days.
Yeah, for one thing, I've noticed airports are kind of understaffed. Have you noticed that? Like, it took me like 45 minutes to get a bagel yesterday. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you know, it's just two people working behind the counter. And that's
wait.
Yeah.
What's a good Southern girl like you eating a bagel?
Oh, because it was late at night and there weren't very many places open.
You need a good biscuit.
It was Wendy's or bagels.
Okay? Oh, well, okay. Oh, that makes sense. You're excused. So, yeah, no, you're not alone in thinking that. I mean, the travel delays, the cancellations, yes. It's insane. A lot of people are blaming the infrastructure. They're blaming the weather. But in reality, the issue goes back to the China virus pandemic when you had airlines forcing staffers to get the clot shot. And a lot of people were saying, no, I'm not going to get the clot shot. I don't want to get the clot shot. We don't know what's in that clot shot. And they said, well, you got to get the clot shot. And if you don't get the clot shot, you're not going to be able to get a job. And so a lot of people were either fired or they resigned, or they were forced to resign. And as a result of that, you had this massive, massive drop in the number of staffers, and especially airline pilots. And so anyway, there's been a big battle about this. Today, earlier today, there was an amendment made to an FAA bill. And the amendment made was that every airline pilot who had been fired or was forced to resign because they didn't get the clot shot, would be reinstated by the airlines. And the measure, which was a Republican-sponsored measure, went down in defeat. 83 Republicans voted alongside Democrats. And we have the vote totals over at ToddStearns.com. We have the names of the rhinos who sided with the Democrats instead of these good and decent airline pilots. Now, we're not going to rehash what's been going on in the culture right now, but when every day when you watch the news, somebody prominent, somebody super healthy, somebody physically fit drops dead because of a blood clot. Every single day this is happening. Perfectly healthy people, and the common denominator in all of these things is they've been vaccinated. They got the clot shot, and now they're dead. So it's politically incorrect to talk about this, but let's just step back for a moment and let's just imagine that you're getting on board an airplane and you've got your family with you. Would you rather have an airline pilot flying your plane that has been vaccinated and has the clot shot and could drop dead in a matter of a second? Or would you rather have an unvaccinated airline pilot flying your plane? As for me and my house, I would rather have the unvaccinated. I'll take my chances with that guy. But that's just me. 844-747-8868. That's 844 747-8868. I want to play some audio here. This is from Louisiana. And poor Dylan, he had to take a break, and he had to, I saw him crying, weeping in the corner after having to edit this video or this audio. So there is a professor at LSU. His name is Marcus Venable, and he's very angry, very upset at a state lawmaker, Mike Fessy. And Mike Fessy, just to be honest, is that they call him Big Mike. He's a big fella. He's had a lot of jambalaya. And, yeah, gumbo too. And, okay, some po' boys. He loves food. Who doesn't? It's Louisiana. And anyway, the state overturned, the state house overturned the governor's veto of these medical mutilation laws. And so the Republicans, they control the state house, and it's a great day in Louisiana. So anyway, this professor calls up and leaves this message on the lawmaker's phone, and it is unbelievable. I want you to take a listen to Cut 10.
I just wanted to say congratulations to our state senator, Big Mike Fessy, and that moron voted to make things worse for people who are already suffering. You fat piece of you did not produce any evidence to support the claims you made about people being harmed by transgender care. Yet we have tons of empirical evidence showing that it's an increased suicide risk when people don't get this care. So you big fat-headed, I can't wait to read your name in the obituary. I will make a martini made from the tears of butthurt conservatives when we put your ass in the ground. You fat, useless piece of you. I hope you have a terrible day. Yourself.
Press 1 to send the message. No, I can't believe that. Can you believe that? Holy cow, that's a professor at LSU, Louisiana State University. Poor Dylan had to look up a couple of the words. Oh, it's terrible. Just terrible. Now, this individual is responsible for teaching your children at LSU. And we have a lot of listeners down in the Bayou State. And if you're listening to the program, I'd be picking up the phone and calling LSU Media Relations, wanting to know what the heck is going on and what kind of people they are hiring at LSU. Just unbelievable. But again, this gives you the idea of what it is to be a true leftist at LSU. Got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.
All right, we have some new information from our sources up in Washington about the Air Force One incidents. You know where Biden has been stumbling while he's trying to climb up the stairs, and heaven forbid he actually trips coming down. I mean, that could be really bad. So the White House has pretty much admitted now that they are moving Biden to the lower stairs. So they have some stairs in the back of the plane that are not very, they're not very tall. And they believe that's going to keep him from tripping. And we shall see. They also say that they've had the president, they've asked the president, they've demanded of the president to start wearing sneakers as opposed to dress shoes. I'm not making this up. Politico reporting. The sneakers are another concession to comfort necessitated by age. One person close to the president said Biden used to always resist wearing anything other than dress shoes, believing that any other footwear look was unpresidential. Well, so is smoking crack. But, you know, it is what it is. The president has now eased up on that stance in recent months about the sneakers, not the crack cocaine. So what's going on here? Well, it won't be long before he start, you know, they start letting him wear, I don't know, a bathrobe and maybe slippers. I mean, we're really kind of like heading in that direction, are we not? Anyway, I believe it looks unpresidential for him to go down the tiny little stairs in the butt of the plane.
Todd, it's the John Fetterman effect.
Oh.
That's what I'm calling it.
You think so?
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to wear the cargo shorts?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
He started the trend of casual attire, and now it's spreading.
And that's
the
not
Oval
casual
Office.
Attire. That's like Goodwill.
Oh.
That's what that is.
Gosh.
Wow. You know, I'm sure, I wonder the stair chair, what do they call that?
Oh, the little escalator?
Yeah, that you can attach to the side.
You get installed in your home.
I love a chairlift.
Chairlift, yes. That's
why don't they just do that? They can put the little presidential seal on it.
And he can just wave.
And
he can wave.
I love it. I think that's a great idea.
Oh my gosh. More like a pathetic image, but yes.
Right, but at least he's going to be safe. You don't want the man breaking a hip.
We could do like a wheelchair ramp too, and we could just push him up and say, here you go, bud.
Or they could just roll him. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe like a series of ramps, not straight up because that's too, but maybe
too
a
steep.
Series.
Zigzag it up.
Zigzag. Oh my gosh. Is this really what we're talking about? This
is
sad.
And then we got a slide that he could ride down.
Oh, that's true.
You know, like the inflatable slide that comes out if you get in a crash.
Wee.
Wee.
I like
have
that.
To step down.
I think it's a great idea. Or they could just bring, or they can keep the large stairs right before he goes up, before he gets out of the beast. You know, the windows are tinted, so you can't
of
see
course.
What's going on there. And just say, hey, Mr. President, we've got some powdered Skittles here for you, Mr. President. So just,
I like powdered donuts.
Just take a sniff. Or better yet, that's right. Get a Krispy Kreme donut, a little bit of white sugary stuff on there and have him eat it, and then the cocaine could just propel him up the stairs. It would be
yep.
like, I mean, boom, just little, like a Roadrunner.
Yep. Little trail behind him, powder.
It could be. Anyway, I do like the chairlift idea.
That's and a good one.
You could have like a national competition, and you know the winning company, that's right, given the presidential seal. I mean, this could be a first in American history where the president has to be lifted into Air Force One.
Other ideas, some kind of like, again, wheelchair, but then you have like maybe his dog could like pull him up like a sled.
I mean, we have a really creative audience, and I'm sure, and a lot of entrepreneurs. So I'm sure someone can come up with something that would help Joe Biden. How do we get this man loaded into Air Force One?
Safely.
I mean, we know how to get Hunter loaded, but we're talking about, like, how do we get the dad loaded into the plane? That's the concern here. 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, President Trump never had that problem. I mean, they're just about the same age. I'm just saying. All right, when we come back. You know what? I want to play some audio here real quick. Going back to Jason Aldean, I want to ramp up this story. Cut 18, please.
And Aldean, obviously, he didn't write the song, but clearly sings it. And you know, for some of the lyrics, we were looking at them earlier. One of them is, cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. We'll try that in a small town. Are those the lyrics that you're referencing?
Those lyrics and the lyric that says, see how far you make it down the road. I mean, this is a lynching anthem. It's an anthem that reminds me of the stories of young men like Trayvon Martin, of Ralph Yarl, you know, young men, Ahmaud Arbery, who were killed by white vigilantes. I mean, this song is not about small towns, because if it was about small towns, where was Jason Aldean when the
All
Murray
right, we're
County
done.
People?
We're done. No, it's not a lynching song. Come on. Come on, people. All right, let's go to the phones here. Bill in North Carolina on our great affiliate, WSJS, has an idea involving Air Force One. Bill, good to have you with us. What say you?
Todd, thank you so much, sir. You are a blessing to my day every day, and I just appreciate all the work you do.
Thank you.
So Well, my look, come on now. We don't need to have a committee hearing about this. It's very simple. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, President Biden helped to improve some of the industrial parts of this. This is called a Clark forklift. Put a pad on it, raise him up to the door, and let him walk in.
Oh,
cheap.
Wow. Bill, I love this idea. And you can still put the presidential seal on the forklift and maybe have like one of the Secret Service guys doing the work in the levers. Bill, you're a brilliant man. We've got to run. Bill says, let's put Biden on a forklift. Or what about like a catapult? Can we do that? Oh, geez, Lou. We'll be right back, everybody.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. Some breaking news coming out of our nation's capital. We now have a copy, and we just received a copy of an FBI form. This is the FD-1023 form. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa releasing this form, and this is the FBI alleging that the Biden family coerced Burisma to pay them millions of dollars to help get a prosecutor in Ukraine fired. And by the Biden family, according to the FBI document, it was then Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter who coerced the CEO of Burisma to pay them millions of dollars. I mean, this is an alleged criminal bribery scheme, folks. This is big doings. And the question is, why was this thing covered up? And what's going to happen now? So we'll keep you updated. We're going to be going through reading this material. It's a four-page form, and this just coming out from Washington, D.C. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have with us from the great state of Florida, Congressman Byron Donalds. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm well, thank you. And again, this information coming out from Senator Grassley's office. What is your initial reaction to what's been shared?
Well, first of all, I've read this form. I'm on the Oversight Committee. I've read the redacted version of this form. It is something that was never classified information. The FBI has had this information for five, six years now. So the fact that this information was had, the FBI had this information prior to the 2020 elections, mind you. They knew about this. They didn't investigate it. They never queried it. And then when you take into account what happened in the Oversight Committee, where the IRS was investigating what Hunter Biden's activities were and the money that was going to the Biden family, what you have here is political corruption in our country, the likes of which we have never seen. And what the American people are going to read in this form, there are damning allegations about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden getting $5 million each, $10 million in total, so Joe Biden could use his office to get the prosecutor in Ukraine fired. And Joe Biden is on the record gloating about how he got the prosecutor fired in Ukraine.
It's really shocking, the information. I was reading this form during the commercial break. I mean, we're talking about criminal activity here. And, Congressman, a lot of people are going to be wondering, will the Bidens, will they be brought to justice here?
Well, what we're doing in the House right now, and I want to be very clear, is since we took over the majority from Nancy Pelosi, what we've been doing is going through the process of building all the evidence out to demonstrate to the American people what's actually been going on. We feel that we've done a very good job with that. Do I think they're going to be held accountable? Listen, I think with where the trajectory is going, I think impeachment proceedings are on the table in the House of Representatives, not just for Joe Biden, but also for Merrick Garland, and I think Lisa Monaco, the deputy AG, and depending on how this goes, maybe even David Weiss and Lisa Wolf, who are the AUSA, who's the U.S. attorney and the assistant U.S. attorney in Delaware.
You know, Congressman, now, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I said, but that's where I think we are going. The reality is that what Nancy Pelosi did with the two impeachments of Donald Trump, that was pure politics based on circumstantial. At best, it was circumstantial evidence. What we have here with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden is ironclad proof that they took money from foreign sources in a pay-for-play scheme. And the reason I can say that is because there is no Biden business. Hunter Biden has no technical expertise to make this kind of money, except for the fact that his son, that he is the son of the then vice president and current president of the United States.
And I think one of the reasons, Congressman, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and I'm spitballing, speculating, but it seems to me that maybe one of the reasons why a lot of the folks who've been on Capitol Hill for many years, the reason why they're not too keen on jumping into this is because people might start asking why they have tens of millions of dollars in their bank accounts when all they do is represent their constituents back home, allegedly.
Well, I think this is a very key thing. We have a situation where, look, members, they're accused all the time of, you're making money in office. Let me assure you, Todd, like, I'm losing money being a member of Congress. Like, I'm not making money coming here. But we do this for the country. And we do it because this is the best country in the world. We want the country to continue to thrive, and you have to have good policy and sound logic and leadership come up here. But when you see what Joe Biden has done, where he basically has been in public office for 50 years, and he is profiting on this through the back door because his son is cutting deals around the globe, that is corruption. And let me be very clear. Hunter Biden has not registered as a foreign agent. Under our laws, if you're going to represent a foreign country, you have to register as a foreign agent. Hunter Biden was taking millions of dollars from foreign countries. We documented yesterday Ukraine, China, and Romania, and there are others, by the way, that are coming out. Why are these countries and foreign companies giving the Hunter Biden all this money unless it's tied to influence peddling in the United States through Joe Biden? So that is that. That's what that is there. Number two, the IRS, the DOJ did cover up the felony charges that they wanted to bring on Hunter Biden because he was not, according to Joe Biden and a lot of Democrats, he was not paying his fair share. He wasn't doing that. They wanted to bring charges, and that was stonewalled by the Department of Justice.
Congressman, you look at how they've gone after Donald Trump and, indictment number three reportedly coming down. There are more down the road if we're to believe the reporting on it. They are hell-bent on taking out Donald Trump, trying to, looks like, use the 14th Amendment and the Insurrection Clause to do it while turning a blind eye to what is, as you just pointed out, really a smoking gun of evidence that the Biden family has been breaking the law.
Well, yeah, they definitely want to go after Trump because they know that Trump is prepared to come in here and clean house and clean all this up. And the reality is that Donald Trump was actually a very effective president, a great president for our country. And just imagine how much he would have actually accomplished if he didn't have these phony investigations going on all the time that distracted a bunch of staff in the White House under Donald Trump. So I think the reason why they continue to go after him is because, frankly, they're afraid of him. And they know that if given the room to actually operate and be president, without all these crazy ideas like Russia collusion, which, by the way, in 2023, Russia collusion sounds like ridiculousness. But remember, in 2017, half the country, the Democrat Party, thought that Russia collusion was real. This is why they go after him, because a lot of what I've seen here on Capitol Hill being a member of Congress is that the Democrats have institutionalized their agenda in these agencies, and now, unfortunately, at the Department of Justice and at the FBI. And the last thing they want is a president to come in here and clean house.
No, I like the way you framed that, and I was really intrigued yesterday with the two IRS whistleblowers. You know, back when I was working at Fox during the Obama years, for the first time in my life, I had faced audits like 2 or 3 years in a row. Many other of my colleagues at Fox at the time were going through the same thing. They even went after Billy Graham and targeted Billy Graham. And I think it was Obama who effectively weaponized the Internal Revenue Service to take out political enemies while giving cover to a lot of other bad things.
Yep. No, you're absolutely correct. Like, listen, the Lois Lerner story, and I know this is years ago for people, you know, we're going back now, Todd, like 2014. The Lois Lerner saga, that didn't just happen in a vacuum. The Lois Lerner problems are endemic of serious issues in the federal agencies, where you have political holdovers who work through multiple administrations, who are institutionalizing an agenda. And when Donald Trump, at the end of, let me back up, Todd. The reason why all this stuff is coming to the surface now is because Donald Trump became president of the United States. Because the plan was for Hillary to become president, and they were going to continue with the agenda. But when Donald Trump became president, he upended the apple cart, because a president changes policy, they change the thought process in these agencies, and they wanted no parts of it. So in the meantime, while they're going after Donald Trump, they're telling everybody he's going to bring World War III. They're telling everybody he's going to corrupt our agencies and our democracy is going to be over. It is actually Joe Biden and the Democrats who have done this. The world is not safe with Joe Biden as president. Our agencies are actually crumbling, and they're attacking the American people under Joe Biden. And our economy, geez, we're barely plugging along. And all of this is because of Joe Biden and because of the radical Democrats that are in his administration and support this crazy policy.
Congressman, before we let you go, you guys have done a remarkable job laying all of this out. The testimony has been incredibly compelling and convincing. But we've been down this road before, and yet people are never held accountable. Are you guys confident that we're going to be able to hold people accountable this go around?
Yes. I think it starts with appropriations that we're in the middle of right now. I think it's going to continue with impeachment proceedings, which I do believe are going to occur. We're just going to continue to do our work. They might start maybe later this year or early next year, because congressional calendars are weird. Like, we're not in session every day. And I think that's probably why people are like, what's taking them so long? Like, we're only really voting and in committee hearings maybe 10 days a month. Maybe 10 to 12 days a month where we're actually on the floor. So I think considering the calendar, considering budgets, we are going to do this. But I would tell people is the investigative work has been going nonstop. I did not think that we would be this far this soon. And that's a credit to Chairman Comer of Oversight, Chairman Jordan of Judiciary, and Chairman Smith of Ways and Means. We've gotten a lot of information out. And I do believe that Joe Biden and people who are working in this scheme, this web of deception, are going to be held accountable.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate your good work and bulldogging this.
All right. Absolutely. Take it easy.
All right. Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida. And you heard him. They're serious about getting to the bottom of this and holding Biden and his cronies accountable. But again, as the congressman pointed out, the FBI has had this information for years, and they intentionally hid it because they did not want to hurt Joe Biden's presidency. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. What do you want to see the Republicans on Capitol Hill do here? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't know how to say this without hurting your feelings, but it's not about you today. It's about Grace, and I think she needs to be running the show. for today. Just throwing it out there.
Thank you, Mark from Florida.
I knew I always liked Mark.
Grace, I'm turning it over to you. You're in charge of the show now.
Oh, gosh. It's going to be a lot about Merlot. Maybe some, you know, fashion. We can talk about the Barbie movie and how it's woke and horrible.
Oh, are you going to see that?
I wanted to, but then I saw how bad it is, and I don't know if I want to anymore. Now I think I'm going to go see Oppenheimer instead.
Oh, well, wow, that's a bit of a stretch.
Barbies or bombs?
Barbies or bombs?
I heard they utter the word patriarchy in the movie at least 10 times, unironically. Barbie, not Oppenheimer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. Is it just going to be 2 hours of, like, men are evil? I don't know.
Pretty much.
Well, one of the Barbies is a dude, you know.
Is that?
There's a transgender
Ken?
Barbie.
Oh, no. It's a trans. Oh, I thought.
No, Ken is a dude.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I thought Ken was gay.
No. He
really?
Dates Barbie.
Wait, what?
Come on, Todd.
I had no idea.
Yes.
So wait a second. The Ken doll is actually heterosexual?
Yes, what? But there's many versions of Ken. Oh, I'm sure there is one out there that's not.
But how do we know Ken is Ken? Ken could be Kim.
That's true. You got to
You can't take
check.
Anything for granted these days.
No, you can't.
Gotta look under the hood.
Nope.
So to speak.
Yeah, you can't assume because the dude who is playing a Barbie in the movie, I thought was a girl.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? It's one of those times you're like, whoa, that's a dude. Whoa,
I heard it was,
that's a lot of makeup.
I heard it was pro-China.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yes, it's been banned in some country.
Interesting.
Somewhere.
Fascinating. All right. One of our poor staffers, he said he was going to go see the Barbie movie.
Oh.
And, you know, he's engaged. And so I think the fiancée, she wants him to go.
Yeah.
So she wants him to go and see them.
I mean, it looks fun in the trailers. I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it. You're making a face, Todd.
It looks like a bubble guy. I know it's just
it like
19.
It looks like a pretty movie.
I don't know.
I want to see the outfits and the glitz and the glam.
Oh, my word.
But I don't want to hear about patriarchy.
All right. Let's go to the phones here. I wonder if Anna feels that way. Anna from Georgia, are you any interest in going to see this Barbie movie that's out there?
Probably with my granddaughter, but I don't want her to get her head full of China, this, that, and the other. It does look really pretty, and you know those people are pretty. But I used to have a Barbie when I was little. I'm 72, so it's a long time ago. But I used to look at the Barbie and the Ken. You couldn't look under the hood there because there was nothing there. So I don't know if I'll. Oh, God.
They were gender neutral.
Yeah, that's what it is. But as far as it is kind of a...
Wow. Anna, this conversation is taking an odd turn.
I know it is. Well, here's the thing with Joe Biden, I'm just going to name names. Joe Biden, his crowd, I'm telling you, they have to feel some pain. It's like everything else in these United States as far as the law is concerned. People are snubbing the law, and the rest of us are suffering for it. Joe Biden has clearly broken the law, and he needs to pay for it. It doesn't matter who it is. Whoever broke the law, especially at that level, needs to feel some pain. The only problem I have with President Trump is he pardoned the very person that was trying to take him down. He pardoned Hillary. And it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, she's trying to screw you over. But he did. But he did it for the betterment of the nation. But these people have gotten away with so much in their causing so much pain for the rest of us. So, you know, Todd, they really need to feel some pain.
There you go.
I don't think they are, though. I don't think they're going to do it.
No.
I don't think they can.
Well, let's see. If Trump gets elected and we are able to somehow take over the Senate as well as and maintain and grow our lead in the House, I think just maybe we will be able to get some things done and bring justice. But right now, it's very troubling. Anna, appreciate that call, and good luck at the Barbie movie. wish you the very best. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got our good buddy Dalton Glasscock coming up from Wichita. All of our friends at KQAM, the big talker, they're going to get excited. We'll be right back. President Trump just released a new video, and he's announcing his plan to save the nation's auto industry from the Green New Deal policies. It's insane out there. The president says that Biden is waging war on the auto industry with a series of crippling mandates that are forcing Americans into these electric cars. By the way, People are not buying these. These electric cars are piling up on the lots. They're just nobody can afford them. And a lot of people are very concerned. For example, here in Memphis, Tennessee, a few days ago, we had a thunderstorm. There were 60 mile an hour winds, 140,000 customers without power. And they're telling us it could be days until the power comes back on. So let's just say that you've got people out there in Memphis that are driving an electric car. Where are they supposed to recharge that thing? I mean, seriously. Trump says if Biden's assault is not stopped, American auto production will be totally dead. And that's why he says he is going to terminate the Green New Deal atrocities on day one. The president says he will reverse every auto job killing policy of the Biden administration. All right. I like to hear that. All right. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, and he has to be because he's our chief executive officer. Also running for city council in Wichita, Kansas, Dalton Glasscock. Hey, Dalton, how's it going out there in Wichita?
It is going well. I'm also so glad to hear Grace's voice. I'm trying to proposition her to move back down to Memphis from Chicago because I think we need her in the studio far more often.
I'm sorry, you're propositioning a married woman? What now?
Just to come back to Memphis.
Oh, I
HR.
See. HR. I see.
Wait a minute.
HR. The man's running for an office. You got to be careful with the words there, Glasscock.
You're right. Everything's under a microscope.
Dalton, it's crazy. The phone lines have lit up today, but nobody wants to talk to me. They all want to talk to Grace.
It's really they want to get an update on Merlot. That's actually why they're calling. They just haven't said that directly.
That's true. That is very true.
So Merlot is, how old is Merlot now?
She's 2.5 years old.
So in dog years, that's what, 80?
Up to... I think she's a teenager still. She's like maybe 20 years old.
And Dalton, you've got a dog too, but it's got one of those funky Latin names.
It's Ad Astra, which means to the stars. It's Kansas's motto.
My dog's named after wine. I mean, come on.
So Grace is booze and Dalton is patriotic. So
it's wine, a little more refined.
Refined booze.
Astra sitting right beneath me. I'll have to bring her down to Memphis at some point. While Grace is back, and then Merlot and Astra can meet.
Oh, that's nice. I have like a little play date.
Put him in the studio with Todd.
Oh, you're in Illinois,
yes.
and he's in Kansas, so
far.
Y'all are sort of in the same neighborhood.
The Midwest.
The Midwest is best.
Okay.
Except for the tornadoes. Can I just say that on the record? Those are terrifying.
It seems that most of ours have actually moved further and further east. So I think they're coming closer to Memphis and less so.
Closer to me.
We're losing our status.
All right. Well, thank you. All right, guys, we can take this. We can have this conversation off air.
We'll talk after.
Yeah, Dalton, I'm curious. I know you've been doing a lot of campaigning. I love it. A couple of days ago, you had a big event. Now, you're a Republican and you're a conservative. And you were at this big event. I guess they hosted a big forum for all the candidates running. And is this true? You were the only person that bothered to show up?
I was. It was me and all the other mayoral candidates. I'm running for city council, so it was just me for my race, and none of my opponents decided to show up. So shocking that you wouldn't show up to a debate 2 weeks before the election.
That really is kind of pathetic. But again, here you are, you know, as a young, I mean, you're a young person. You're what, 28, 29 years old?
Almost 30.
You're almost 30, and you know you're busting your butt out there on the campaign trail. I'm curious, what is it about campaigning? You know, most people your age probably would not be putting as much intensity into an election like you've been doing.
hey, nobody's going to outwork me, and I will show up to everywhere I'm invited. I think I have talked to about 3,000 voters' households that I went door knocking, and just this week it was 107 in Wichita, and I was still out door knocking, talking to people, because I think people want to talk to those running to represent them, and I want to hear from voters about what issues they care most about.
I know you've talked in the past about crime and that being a big issue on the minds of voters. What are you hearing from the people when you're out knocking on doors?
Crime is number one. You know, I think other than that, people want government off their backs. I think right before I hopped on here, you were talking about mandates from the federal government to implement the Green New Deal. And I think people are worried about those same things happening in local governments as well. And people just want to live their life free of government intervention. And that's becoming harder and harder to do for so many Americans.
Well, I think it's a good point of that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this story on the show in New York City, where the Department of Environmental Protection has actually drafted new rules that would crack down on pizza joints. Now, a lot of the pizza's a big deal, and I don't know what your food of choice, steak, corn, in Wichita, but in New York City, it's all about pizza. So when you're going,
I'll choose pizza over that anytime.
Well, you're going in and you're telling these pizza owners, hey, look, you've got to get rid of your coal and wood fired ovens, or you've got to spend tens of thousands of dollars to upgrade. These people, these are small business owners. They don't have that much money. Get the government off our backs.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, one of the reasons you go to New York is for their pizza. And so by changing the way they're going to eat pizza, one, it's going to make me less likely to go to New York because I love pizza. But two, they're unfunded mandates by the government that are crippling small business. You know, for a small business, any mandate is strict. But, you know, these in New York are costing, you know, small businesses over $20,000. If we were told tomorrow by the government that you and I had to change something we were doing for $20,000, it would take a significant hit on our budget, and we would have to make financial decisions with our staff. And that's not something that small businesses should do from the government. We're facing tons of challenges with inflation and just running and operating a business in this business and culture climate that we don't need more unfunded mandates from the government that are going to cripple our business and other small businesses across the country, including here in Wichita.
Dalton Glasscock is CEO of Stearns Media Group. He is running for city council in Wichita, Kansas. And I'm curious, Dalton, from a city council perspective, you know, a lot of people, they have a list and they go down the list and they ask the people running for office, how do you feel about these issues? When in fact, a lot of those issues have, you know, the council has no responsibility, no authority. And I'm curious, you know, what are some things that you're going to be focused on, things you can do on the city council?
I think you have to get government back to the basics and city hall back to the basics across the country. You know, the primary function of local government is public safety, fully funding police and fire, and that will be my top priority when elected. Second to that, I think we have to invest in our neighborhoods, and I think a government that governs best governs locally. And I think by empowering our neighborhood associations to be able to care for themselves, you take the back off city hall with mandates and you allow neighbors to care for neighbors. And I think we have to support small business, loosen regulations on businesses so that businesses can thrive and do what they do best, which is hire people and bring money into the economy.
I want to expand nationally because you are in leadership nationally for the, is it Young Republicans? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you do wield some authority and within the party itself nationally. Dalton, I see an aging Republican Party, and that is not good. What do we need to be doing to attract younger voters to the party?
I think representation matters, and I think elevating the voice of young conservatives is how we begin to change the dynamics and the infrastructure in the party. You know, they can call us the party of tons of other things, but when they see a young person, when they see a minority speaking, when they see a woman speaking on behalf of the Republican Party, it mitigates a lot of the attacks from the left. And that's what we have to begin to do, is elevate the voices of people. And I'm not saying put them in there because of those positions, but there are plenty of qualified people that want to step up and serve, and we should empower them to be able to do that in our communities.
Far too often, I've seen this play out in Republican circles where they'll tell people, it's not your turn, wait 10, 20, 30 years. Your job right now for the next 5 years is to stack tables and chairs. I'm not sure that's a winning formula.
No, and everybody should be stacking chairs.
Well, of course.
The young, everybody, if you're going to a Republican Party event, put in the work and get it done. Nobody just gets to sit there and do nothing. And so, you know, my call to other young people across the country and really everybody is step up and run for office. Only 2% of Americans engage in something other than voting, either running for office, volunteering, or donating on campaign. Be one of those 2% and hopefully make it 3%, get more people involved in our process. And democracy only works when we step up and we take action.
I love that. And that is an important thing. Dalton, can we bring Jim into the conversation? Jim is listening to us in Lakeland, Tennessee, on our flagship station, KWAM. And he really doesn't care about politics right now. Dalton and Grace, he wants to talk about dogs. Hey, Jim, you're on the air with Dalton and Grace and me.
Hey, Todd. The other night, my wife and I were talking, and I made a comment. I said, you know, a dog is a man's best friend. And she said, well, what about me? I said, She said, well, how are you figuring that a dog is a man's best friend? I said, I can put you in the trunk of one car, put him in the trunk of another car, wait 20 minutes, open the trunk, and guess who's going to be glad to see me?
He's not wrong.
I think Astra has a small smile on her face right now after your comment.
Jim, I hope you're taking your wife out for lunch right now.
Oh, yeah. Get her some flowers.
She knows. She's a sweet lady.
She is.
I'm lucky to have her. Go ahead.
Yeah, she is. She's a very sweet lady. So.
Yep.
That's true. You can leave your dog all day, and you come back, and it's like, you're the best thing ever. Hello, Mom.
Yep, that's it. That's the way they are.
All right, what kind of a dog do you have, Jim?
I got two Cairn Terriers.
All right, and what are their names?
One of them is Leo, and the other one is Cooper.
Cooper and Leo. I like
Cooper
that.
Cooper and Leo.
I like that.
Normal names than Merlot and Ad Astra. Yeah.
I like Jim's dog's name. All right, Jim, good hearing from you, and thank you for listening to KWAM. All right, Dalton. This is exciting, and I think that you, especially in your national leadership role, can really be influential and help the party just understand these are the issues that are important. We've got to start reaching out, and we have to be very intentional about growing that next generation of conservative patriots.
Well, and what I try to tell everybody, I do international relations for the National Young Republicans, so my job is to travel the world and talk about freedom and democracy, and people still look to America for these ideas. They still look to America on how to model good governance, and I think we don't need to let them down, and we show the rest of the world that America can still achieve those ideals, and that through, you know, hard work and economic opportunity, anybody can achieve the American dream.
I know you're over with Rick Grenell, who's very plugged into Mar-a-Lago and the Trump campaign. Where were you guys at overseas?
It was actually Rick Lockery, the national chairman of the Young Republicans. But we were over in Germany, and we were traveling and speaking to the Young Union, which is their youth organization. I'm headed to Brazil later this year to be able to talk on behalf of American youth and try to equip our partners in South America with the tools to advocate for freedom and capitalism down in South America as well.
See, I love this phrase, equip them. And if they want freedom, they know how to fight for it. You know, but we don't need to be going in and trying to do regime change on our end. I love that concept and well done. Well done. All right, Dalton, we've got to skedaddle here. We're late for a break. Where can people go if they want to get information on your campaign, your website?
Yeah, please go to daltonglasstalk.com. Even if you're listening or not in Wichita, you can still support that website. Again, daltonglasstalk.com. If you're listening in Wichita, voting's already begun. And final election day, polls close August 1st at 7 p.m., but you can go vote down to the election office.
All right, good luck to you, Dalton. Dalton Glasscock on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to the phone. Steve in Arkansas, Bob in Georgia. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Richard Shea, here to tell you about my exciting new drug-free treatment for children with attention deficit disorder. This treatment is fast and effective and doesn't use harmful drugs. Watch closely as I apply treatment to the first child.
I want a horse, I want a big brown horse with a fluffy black tail with a tiny tail.
Sit down and study! Sit down and study! Stop crying and do your schoolwork!
If you would like more information on my bold new treatments, please send away for this free brochure entitled, You Can Either Calm Down or I Can Pop You in the Mouth Again. Thank you. Hello.
I love South Park. Wow. There you go. You know, there was a... By the way, there are generations of children who went through exactly what you just heard in that video. And we all turned out pretty darn good. You didn't have to medicate our generation. You didn't see our generation going out there and shooting up the schools, did you? No, you did not. Because they knew that if we mouthed off, we were going to get one upside the head. What are you looking at me like that for, Grace?
Oh, I'm just chuckling because, like, I was over here homeschooled and it was like, go see the principal, your father.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a whole different game. Yeah. I was spanked maybe twice as a child because I was like, I don't like this. I don't ever want this to happen again. I'm going to do exactly as I'm told.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's go to the phones here. Steve in Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. You were asking a while ago what we think the Republicans should be doing now about this Biden situation. It's mainly the Judiciary Committee is what I'm assuming you were talking about. I think we're getting scammed again. I think this Biden thing is nothing but a decoy to keep us from seeing what they're doing right in front of our face. They're preparing not to steal the next election in 24. They're preparing to steal our candidate in 24.
Well, don't be surprised, Steve, when the president is arraigned, don't be surprised if they try to keep him in jail. Because, again, I think people are now numb to all of this. I don't think that that's going to move the needle much. They could indict this guy 15 times, and I don't think it's going to move the needle.
But here's what nobody's talking about, Todd. What if they drag this out, slow roll it just like they're doing, play it right up to the end, and then right there a month or so before the election, they convict him of a felony. He can't. It says in the Constitution, a felon cannot serve as president. What's the plan for that?
Steve, it's a good question. And it's a question. And look, the Republicans are going to have to deal with this. I mean, this is a reality of choosing Trump as your nominee, knowing that could happen. And what do you do? Because, Steve, I do not want to I don't want to be in the country on the day that happens.
I don't either. But that's my point exactly.
Yeah.
They should be dealing with it now, not when it happens.
And maybe they are. Maybe they do have a plan, Steve.
All I see them doing is talking about crap that happened 5 to 7 years ago. About the Democrats are ready to give Biden up. They're ready to sacrifice him when he's no longer of use to them. He's a good decoy right now that's keeping everybody busy while they get ready to steal Trump away from us.
Steve, we're paying attention, and we'll keep you updated, and we'll keep everybody updated on this. But look, these are valid concerns you have. Valid concerns. Steve, we got to run. Appreciate that call. Oh, by the way, we had someone call in with another suggestion on how do we get Biden, you know, into Air Force One. That's been a big challenge. They've got a smaller set of stairs now. But what happens if that doesn't work? What happens if he stumbles up those stairs? I mean, are we looking at like a catapult, or maybe we could do like a bouncy house and just, you know, just chunk him in through the back? Or maybe hoist him up with the firefighters, you know, the ladder truck. Anyway, somebody called in on that whole chairlift, and they said we could call it Chair Force One. I like that. We have great listeners. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three coming up. We're going right to the phones when we get back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello. Welcome to hour three of the big show. Happy to have you with us. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. 747-8868. I I do want to go to the phones real quick. Bob's been graciously holding on for a while, listening to us in Georgia. Bob, what's on your mind today?
Nothing much. I think you sound a little Yankee.
I sound Yankee?
Yeah, say pillow.
Well, now, I could say pillow, but I do say pillow.
No, you say palo.
Palo? My palo? I don't think I say palo.
Well, listen.
I'm listening.
But anyway, I was wondering what Hillary was convicted of to be pardoned by Trump.
What?
I missed it.
Well, I'm afraid you've lost me there. Bob, what are you talking about?
What was Hillary Clinton convicted of for Donald Trump to have pardoned her?
Did Donald Trump pardon Hillary Clinton?
A couple of callers back said she did. He did, and you agreed with her.
No, I don't think I did. To my knowledge, Trump has not pardoned Hillary, and of course he can't pardon Hillary because he is not president of the United States.
No.
Oh, but do you think that she? You don't think Hillary's committed any crimes?
No, that's not what I said. I said she said that Donald Trump made a mistake in pardoning Hillary Clinton, and you didn't say a word. So by not saying a word, that's like agreeing with her.
Well, I didn't say a word there, but that doesn't mean I agree with what you just said, Bob. I don't understand what's the point of what you're saying here.
No, not what I just said. I said the lady said.
Right. Okay, Bob. Look, here's the deal. I didn't hear what if the lady said that, then I didn't hear her say that. But I will say this, that Hillary Clinton deserves to be in jail right now. And the reason I believe Hillary Clinton deserves to be in jail is because of what she did to our American citizens and soldiers in Benghazi. She left people behind. It is an unforgivable act. And that she did not provide the resources that those men and women needed to protect themselves from the Islamic radicals. And but anyway, Bob, appreciate the call. Do I really say palo? I don't think my palo. Now,
I've never noticed that. You say pillow.
My pillow.
Pillow.
Now, you could say, I mean, if you're from like Mississippi, you're going to say pillar.
Pillow.
My pillow. Woo, honey, get me a pillar.
Winder.
Or my pillow, if you're from like Georgia or South Carolina.
Over by the winder.
Honey, I need a pillow. Go over there and open up that winder. No, nobody says that, I don't think.
Yes, I have said winder before.
You've said winder?
I have. One time my husband called me out and he was like, Grace, you just said winder. And I went,
right?
This
is
pre-moving to Illinois. Chicago.
Do they think you have an accent up in the Yankee land?
Oh, yes.
Is that true?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I've definitely been called out on it. And I say y'all, which is like a dead giveaway.
Well, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with
that. As long as there's more than one person there, it's a y'all.
They're like, oh, yep, that makes sense.
But if you're up in East Tennessee, like East Tennessee towards North Carolina, that area and the mountains, it's Yuns. Where are Yuns going?
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before.
Where are Yuns going? Yuns? What? Wait, what? Huh? It's like a couple of days ago, I was listening to someone having a car. Oh, it's Ben, our good friend Ben Dieter, host of the morning show on KWAM.
He's not
in
from
Memphis.
The South.
He is not from the South. And he was talking about it was National Pecan Pie Day. That's how he described
pecan.
It. Pecan pie. And it's pecan. Right. Thank you.
Pecan.
It's pecan. Now, of course, in Texas, it's pecan. Pecan pie. And then you've got.
That's weird.
And then I don't know where Dieter. He lives among the Amish people up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they do say pecan.
Pecan.
But,
I don't like that. Doesn't sound very good to me.
He said. So he asked me about it. He says. Is it pecan or is it pecan? Well, I said one of them is a pie. The other is something you have in the car when your dad won't stop on the long road trips.
True.
Right?
Pecans.
And then you got a pecan, usually a Gatorade bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
Of various
That's what I'm saying.
Sundry
it doesn't
sizes.
Sound very appetizing to say it that way.
True.
I'm team pecan.
Yes, it is. It's pecan. I mean, that's how God, when God was creating the earth, he said, I hereby make pecan trees. And so they were. Verily, verily. It's in Genesis. Look it up. All right. We have some audio here. Ron DeSantis and the Misses, that would be Casey DeSantis, are making the rounds. They sat down for an interview. This was a lifestyle interview with Ainsley Earhart from Fox and Friends. And the challenge here, folks, they're trying to, it's a reset. It's a redo. They've had a really rough go of it with their campaign staff, and so they're trying to reintroduce themselves. And this is the DeSantis's describing how they met. Let's take a listen.
Well, one day while I was in Jacksonville, I was out at a golf driving range. I needed to work on my swing because it was pretty awful. I was like hooking and shanking all over the place. But I had noticed behind me, someone had left a half full bucket of balls. And the other side of those balls was this guy.
I was a lieutenant junior grade in the Navy stationed in Naval Station Mayport. I just happened to pop out to this range one day. I'm sitting there hitting. She's there. I see her looking over her shoulder. I thought she was
looking at me. Of course you did.
That's what I thought. So I saw the balls there, but I kind of used the balls as an excuse to start the conversation. And so we did.
And then we got to talking, and basically the rest is history. So we met over literally a bucket of balls and a beer at a driving range in Northeast Florida. But our son and our daughter are getting into golf, which is really cool to see because that's how mom and dad met.
All right. Well, there you go. And the rest is history, as they say. By the way, new polling data out and still not moving the needle for DeSantis. Trump firmly in the lead. And the latest has Ron DeSantis now tied for second place. So Vivek Ramaswamy is making a play. They're both at now polling at 12%. I mean, that's pretty remarkable when you look at where Ramaswamy was just a couple of weeks ago. So there you go. I'm just curious, have any of you Trump supporters changed your mind yet? Any of you folks out there who are the Trump supporters, and you're saying, you know what, maybe we need to give DeSantis another look here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, we're going to take a break. We will be right back after this. All right, let's go to the phones. Salem, Oregon. Tom on the line. Thanks for listening to KYKN. Hey, Tom, what you got for us?
Hi there. Very good. I'm dyed in the wool Trump supporter. In fact, I think he could kind of help blow up the conversation by inviting Kennedy, you know, the junior, on the Democrat side, just to our debate, because the Dems are trying to shut him down. They don't want him speaking at all. And so just to help illustrate, we're for free speech and letting everybody's opinion out there. The other Republicans can counter if they want or chime in, I think, on the COVID. I think he's very much in sync with all the people that know what the hell happened on the COVID side. So I think that would be a heck of a ratings partner increase just to blow him up like that.
Tom, I think, no doubt about the ratings part of it, but I'm not too sure that's a very good idea from a political standpoint. Again, RFK is a liberal, and he does not share. I would say there are a few things he probably agrees with Republicans on, the China virus stuff, one of them. But as far as everything else, he's not a Republican, not a conservative, and I think that would take away from the more important task, which is the Republican Party's got to figure out who is going to be the next generation of conservative leadership in the party.
I'm not trying to say that he's anywhere near a Republican.
No. I hear you.
That he's being canceled and that we're against the cancel culture.
Yeah, well, we certainly are. But that's where talk radio can step in. And maybe, maybe we can host a debate among a bunch of the folks and invite RFK. But ultimately, he is not polling well right now in the Democrat primaries. So we'll see how all that plays out. Tom, appreciate that call. I know everybody's big. They're big fans of RFK Jr. I'm just not. By the way, I triggered the Kennedy family night before last. I did defend RFK Jr. From his own family, and they're accusing him of heinous behavior. And I just simply replied to one of the Kennedy gals. And I said, speaking of heinous behavior, what do you got to say about what your uncle did to that woman at Chappaquiddick? Whoops. Oopsie. Oopsie. A little triggered. But it's true, right? This is what I never understood about Ted Kennedy. Here's a guy who let a woman drown in a car that he was driving when it flipped over on that small rickety bridge to Chappaquiddick, right? This guy was heralded as the lion of the Senate. And I just don't get it. Even Republicans, they love this guy. And it seems to me he's complicit in a woman's death. And if he was drinking, it would be murder or manslaughter. I don't know. I never have understood the whole infatuation with Ted Kennedy. It's very strange. All right, let's go to Fred in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Fred. What you got for us today?
Fine. I'm a Trumper, Todd, and I'm going to vote for, stick with Trump right on. I don't understand how all those candidates that are running against Trump think that they can have a net their first 4 years as good or better than what Trump accomplished in his last four, and they don't have any experience as the president, and so Trump on his next term must do even more than he did before. So I'm leaving good enough alone. I want to let Trump get in there and show us again.
All right, Fred, all right, you got your say there, and Trump is still your guy. Appreciate that call. So I want to share a story with you. Now, where's Grace Baker? Grace, I have a question for you in a moment. I want you to listen to this. If, let's just say, there's a guy, and this guy is a jogger, and he's jogging along, and somebody comes up and attacks him. And the guy uses racially charged language. This is how the news report went, that this that race may have been a factor in this jogger being attacked. Racist language was used. Immediately, what do you think that story's about?
You talking about the suspects and what the situation was?
Yeah. What color do you think the suspect is? What color do you think the victim is?
I would assume the victim that was attacked that supposedly used the language was a white guy. And the guy who attacked him was a black guy in that situation. That's what you would assume.
You mean vice versa? That the victim was a black guy and the attacker was a white guy.
I apologize. Yes. Yeah. That.
Yeah. It turns out to be the exact opposite.
Oh, so the goodness gracious.
So there's a big story. Of all places, Memphis. We've got so much news coming out of this place. It's insane. So there's a guy, and he was out jogging, and he was the victim of some sort of a road rage incident. And here's what's crazy about this. The media completely covered up the fact that the victim was white and the attacker was black.
Of course they did.
And they wanted you to think it was the reverse.
Of course they did.
And they never mentioned the skin colors, but they said race may have been a factor. Well, it turns out that this black guy, it was road rage. This guy comes over to the jogger and, I mean, brutally beats this guy. The guy's got like stitches in his scalp, and it was a very terrible thing. And then the guy's using racist language as he was attacking the white guy. He actually did an interview with one of the local TV stations. I believe this is Channel 3 in Memphis, cut number 2.
He pulled a U-turn and was yelling at me, but I had my headphones in and couldn't hear him. He stopped in the median, and then I ran into a parking lot and tried to get some bystanders' attention.
What makes you emotional?
Well, it's just, I don't know, it's lucky, and, you know, I do feel bad for the guy, you know. We've all had our anger issues. It's just, like I said, take them out constructively.
So there's a good friend of us here in this area, a guy by the name of Jimmy Shotwell. He owns the Memphis Barbecue Supply. He was actually in the shopping center and saw all of this go down. He called 911. Mr. Shotwell said his head, that whole entire side of his head was dripping with blood. It was massive. It was like out of an action movie. The guy hit the front bumper, rolled over the hood, hit the windshield, rolled over the hood like the roof and just bounced off the ground. The suspect, Ladarius Carruthers, age 23, is charged with attempted second-degree murder and aggravated assault. The victim says he's still processing the situation, but he's thankful for the help of first responders as he returns to running. He's just, this guy's a runner. He's a jogger. Mr. Carruthers is being held on a $125,000 bond. He'll be out on a $10,000. If you pony up $10,000, you're out back out on the streets. Now, here's what I find interesting about this story, is that they're keeping the race. I'm just curious here, and I would love to talk to the news people and ask them, why is it whenever there is a white guy and he's accused of doing something to a black guy, they mention the races and they immediately go after the racial angle here, right? But not in this case. When it's a black guy attacking a white guy, they don't do that. And I'm just curious why. I'm genuinely curious. It's an intellectual curiosity. Why is that they ignore the race in an instance like this? But I have another question. If the guy in the car was white and he tried to run over a black guy and then beat the holy living hell out of that guy while using racist language, you think that would be on the national news? You better darn well believe it would be. We would have Al freaking Sharpton, AOC. We'd have Ben Crump, that racist agitator, the race agitator. We'd have all those people out there marching in the streets of Memphis. You'd have the national news down here. You'd have the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, announcing federal hate crime charges, right? Right? You would. So I just want to throw this out there. Why aren't they charging the guy with a hate crime? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that we ought to have special hate crime laws. Crime is crime. You kill somebody, there's hate in your heart. You try to run over a jogger, there's hate in your heart. You don't need a special carve out of the law. But since we've got one, I'm just curious. Why is it that this guy is not being charged with hate crimes? He used racist language. If you use racist language in the commission of a crime, that is a hate crime. So I'm just curious why our George Soros-funded district attorney, a guy by the name of Steve Mulroy, is not filing federal hate crime charges. Why isn't the government coming in and filing hate crime charges? I'm just curious. I ask questions on this radio program. 844-747-8868. I think you folks in Memphis listening to KWAM, you ought to be asking questions. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Program. By the way, got to tell you about our good friends over at Newsmax. And, man, are their ratings through the roof these days? They're just adding more and more people every day. And one of the people you're going to see on Newsmax is our good friend David Horowitz, who has a brand-new book out called The Final Battle. The president, President Trump, says America is facing a final battle, and that battle is coming. It's the 2024 election. He says, the president says, this book exposes the far left's attempts to end democracy. So you got to get yourself a copy of The Final Battle. David Horowitz, he names the names, and it's a pretty fascinating read. Mike Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to be ready, and they've got to read this book. The Final Battle, available at bookstores everywhere, already an Amazon bestseller. You can also get the book free. Check this out. Go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com. All the information is there. You'll be able to save almost $30, and you'll be able to get The Final Battle today. Speaking of battles, there's a big one on social media involving a guy by the name of Andrew Tate, former kickboxer, who's facing some pretty serious charges. And a good friend of this program, Liz Wheeler, host of The Liz Wheeler Show. Liz is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this afternoon. Hey, Liz, how are you?
Hi, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, sure. So I know there's been a big dust-up over on social media. I understand Andrew Tate blocked you, and I'm wondering what's behind this kerfuffle?
Yes. he did block me, although interestingly, he unblocked me the following day to issue a response video. The origin of this, I guess on social media, it's called beefing. Maybe this is a Gen Z term that I've just learned. But the origin of this is Tucker Carlson flew to Romania, where Andrew Tate lives, and conducted an interview with him. It was almost a two-hour interview. And in this interview, Andrew Tate told demonstrable lies about himself, about his business, about his wealth. Keep in mind here, Andrew Tate is the most Googled man in the world. He's incredibly influential. His platform is telling young men that society is attacking masculinity, which is true. We all know that there's a war on men. But what he prescribes to young men as an antidote to this societal attack on masculinity is he pushes them down a path of self-destruction. He claims that true masculinity is about materialism and pornography. He actually runs a pornography business. That's how he made his wealth. Exploitation of women and worship of self. So after this interview with Tucker Carlson aired on Tucker's show on Twitter, it was viewed by almost 100 million people. I made a video go viral of a compilation of Andrew Tate quotes, not from the interview itself, but from other interviews that he's done. He produces content on social media regularly and has for years, demonstrating the truth about who Andrew Tate is, that he admits that he's a pimp, that he manipulates women into performing pornography on webcams and then profits from them, that he cheats people out of money, that he practices polygamy, that he pushes on young men this idea that you should just be wealthy, that that's the road to fulfillment, and that you should worship essentially yourself. And I simply pointed out that this is incredibly immoral, that young men should reject Andrew Tate because, while yes, he diagnoses a cultural problem correctly, his prescription is poison. And apparently Andrew Tate didn't like when I exposed the truth.
Yeah, it's look, I did not see the interview, but I knew that Tucker was doing a sit down. And I'm just not a fan of Andrew Tate. I don't know why people would give him a platform, especially with the ideas that I think you did a pretty good job of laying all of this out. What is your concern, though? Because I think a lot of people were concerned that Tucker platformed this guy and really giving him, if I don't know if credibility is the right word, but certainly the appearance of that.
Certainly. And listen, my critique of this situation is of Andrew Tate, not of Tucker Carlson. I have no idea if Tucker was aware of the truth about Andrew Tate. That's the thing about con men like Tate, is they're very convincing. He's a very charismatic person. If you watch this interview, I watched about 45 minutes of the interview. I mean, you almost feel sympathy. You feel at least sympathetic towards his arguments because he's a really good salesman telling you these lies. It's only if you compare it logically to the truth, putting emotion aside, that you realize that it's false. So my critique is with Andrew Tate and with the fact that he's not just a cult hero to people on the left who you might expect to have embraced this really destructive combination of materialism, pornography, exploitation of women, and worship of self. There are a lot of conservative young men and young men who maybe they aren't particularly political, but they consider themselves to be red-pilled, who are falling for what Andrew Tate is saying. And it's mind-boggling to me, actually, that anybody conservative would defend Andrew Tate, given what he's done and what he continues to do, how he's built his wealth. So my purpose in all of this wasn't necessarily to pick a fight or to feud with Andrew Tate. I know it turned into a back and forth. I consider that to be productive because it helps other people realize the truth about him so that they aren't led astray. That's my goal in this from the very beginning. It's not to try to antagonize someone or humiliate someone. It's to destroy his ideas because his ideas are so, so harmful to our culture. And he's been so successful in conning people that even people on the right have had a hard time discerning right from wrong. The way that I explain it, it's very easy for all of us to see what's wrong. We see that our culture is attacking young men, and we can, in our gut, we kind of know that's wrong. What's not as easy is to define what's right. And as a conservative movement, a Republican Party, and certainly as a country, this is a question we need to grapple with. We can try to destroy what's wrong, but what are we going to replace it with? What are we going to do? What is good and what is right and what is beautiful?
Well, I would agree with you. I think there is a discernment issue within the conservative movement right now. And it's, you know, it's going to be very important for people to do their homework. And I appreciate what you did in this instance, which is giving people the backstory, giving people the information. What they do with that is up to them. But again, folks, you've got to do your homework. Liz, I know you've got a great book coming out. It's called Hide Your Children. Exposing the Marxist Behind the Attack on America's Kids, a book coming out September 26. I'm assuming people can pre-order it now. Is that right?
They can. In fact, it's one of my pet peeves as a consumer when people announce that they're writing a book and I'm like, oh, this is so great. I can't wait to read it. And I go to Amazon or wherever and it's not out until next year and I have to wait 8 months. So I kept this book a secret until just last week. You can pre-order it now. It comes out in September. So it'll be in your mailbox in just a few weeks if you pre-order. You can go to hideyourchildrenbook.com. It's been a labor of love in a difficult path. In this book, I name the names of the people behind the attack on America's children, behind the capture of our institutions. And I propose a solution, and I'll be honest here, it's a solution different than what the Republican Party offers for how we can retake these institutions and therefore protect our children and therefore protect our nation.
All right. Well, I'm curious here, and I don't want you to give the book away, but what is your action point here? What do you think we ought to be doing that we're not doing?
Well, it's a good question, because what I found when I was writing the book is that this attack on our children, whether it's critical race theory, transgender ideology, moral relativism, this isn't new. We just all noticed it during COVID when we saw over our children's shoulders what they were being taught in school. But truly, the left has spent decades reorienting or re-engineering our society, and they've captured these major institutions, media, the education system, religion, the law. They're coming after the family. That's probably why they're focused on children right now. And what I offer is a critique of the Republican Party in the sense that during the time that the left was in action capturing these institutions, the right embraced a more libertarian mindset, that the role of government in our society is just to protect the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of citizens, and otherwise government should stay off of our lawn. I propose and challenge conservatives and Republicans in the book to ask themselves the question, is freedom, if we are to be a free nation, is freedom the ultimate end, or is freedom the means to something greater? Because if freedom is the ultimate end, then, you know, drag queen story hour, where grown men are dressed up as sexualized versions of women gyrating in front of children, there has to be some morality in that if these men have the freedom to do that. Yet I think you and I and everyone listening knows that there is no morality in that. So that leaves us with this proposition or this idea that freedom must then not be the ultimate end. It must be the means to something greater. And we should order our society towards that something greater using freedom as the medium. And I lay out the argument. This is actually not my idea. This is our constitutional heritage. The framers of our Constitution, including James Madison, the father of our Constitution, envisioned America along the lines of liberty as defined by ordered liberty versus liberty as defined by absolute freedom. If we are to fight back against the capture of our institutions and the capture of our children, we have to reclaim our heritage to a society that views liberty as the means to something greater.
All right, good stuff. Well, Liz, congratulations on the new book, and folks, you can pre-order that right now. The book comes out in bookstores September 26th, Hide Your Children, Exposing the Marxist Behind the Attack on America's Kids. Liz, always appreciate your great work.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. There you go, Liz Wheeler. Get yourself, you know, we've got probably the largest library audience in all of America right here. I mean, you guys are voracious readers, and I love it. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, we have an update on this weird story coming out of Nashville. Remember the transgender terrorist who attacked the Christian school? And the parents are a bunch of woke people, the leaders of the school. One of the parents also happens to be in charge of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. That's the lobbying arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this guy is as woke as the day is long, and he is anti-gun. And he is using his position to shove an agenda down the throats of Republican lawmakers. So next month in Tennessee, the Republican governor, Bill Lee, who's a rhino, is calling for a special session and he wants to implement a gun grab. They're not calling it a red flag law, but it's basically a red flag law. And so now the parents have weaponized their own children to become little anti-gun activists, sort of like David Hogg over in from Parkland, the school shooting there in Florida. But before we play this audio, we still do not have the manifesto of the transgender terrorist. The police department in Nashville put out a statement yesterday saying they don't have a problem with it. They do not have a problem with the release of the manifesto. But the church school and the parents and the liberals are fighting back, and they say, we will not allow that manifesto to be released. Now, look, I want to step back for just a second, and let's just think about this objectively, right? Let's have a little bit of critical thinking here. If, in fact, you are the governor of the state, you're Bill Lee, and you're saying, wow, we've got to do something about this. We've got to do something about the guns. Now, it seems to me, before you go down that path, would you not want to be equipped with all the information? Would it not be helpful to know the motive behind this domestic terrorist attack? Maybe there was something else going on. But they don't want to know the truth, because the truth may conflict with their ultimate goal, which is to crack down on guns. And by the way, Tennessee is controlled by a supermajority of Republicans. So this is all on the Republicans here. So just a few moments ago, they had a big press conference, and this woman gets up there, and she's a parent, and she's talking about how they've got to, you know, they've got to get the guns. And then she turns around, or she bends down, and she picks up a visual aid to make her point. And the visual aid is a little toddler. The poor little thing can barely speak. Now, we've got the video. Our affiliate in Memphis, KWAM, they've got the video up on their website. Ben Dieter wrote the story. You got to watch this video. This is insane. So you're about to hear it, but I have to describe it first. The mother is bending down, and she's picking up the child, and then she's literally telling the child what to say. And the little child is repeating what the mother says. We have to get the guns. The child had no idea what he was talking about. So let's listen to this. Just happened moments ago in Nashville.
When it comes to special session, I'm thankful first and foremost for Governor Lee for calling it and realizing the need for it. My hope is that we get to start meaningful legislation, including firearm reform, that makes our community safer. I am prayerful that this will be a time of peace and unity during special session, and I ask our community to please seek that as well, and that our community will treat the legislators and one another with respect so that we can all effectively work on behalf of the children.
Here she comes. She's picking up the kid, the visual aid.
I don't want any guns.
I don't want any guns.
Today.
Okay.
Or any guns. And I love my
book. Oh, my word. She was like, literally, it was almost like she was a bad ventriloquist. Have you ever been to one of those where you've got the woman or the entertainer at the child's birthday party?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the mannequin. Those things creep me out.
I've also seen that like on America's Got Talent, stuff like that.
Oh, remind me, we've got America's Got Talent.
Oh. Oh,
we'll get to that in a second. Yeah, so this, it was like a bad ventriloquism act. That's what that was.
Yeah, it wasn't so great. And it was just obvious, like, okay, little Johnny.
All right, tell him
what we rehearsed earlier in the car. And I said, I'd give you a lollipop after if you said this.
Oh, my word.
Take you out for ice cream.
This is it's terrible. It's so sad.
Because you know there was bribery involved.
Oh, of course there was.
As usual, when getting a kid to do anything.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. These Democrats are really despicable, and that's who these people are. They are Democrats. And shame on you Southern Baptists out there. Why would you guys need to just dismantle this whole ERLC? It is nothing more than a left-wing gun grab organization. That's what that is. So shame on you. All right, should we play this? No, I don't think we should, Grace. I don't know. I'm torn. I'm conflicted now. The America's Got Talent. Look, here's what's funny about this. The song the guy sings, it's the reaction from the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, anywhere else, this guy would be accused of being transphobic.
This is true.
But I think people are just sick of it now.
I think
they're
so
just
too.
Sick and tired. All right, let's take a listen to this guy.
I met this girl, and she's just great. This girl I just adore. The problem is, she has much more than I had bargained for.
I'm intrigued.
She's got that style.
Okay.
She's got that smile.
Yeah.
She's got the walk. She's got the talk.
Come on now.
She's got that zing. There's just one thing. She's got a penis.
Wait, what? 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 Oh?
She's got that flair, knows what to wear. She's got that face, that girlish grace. She's got pizzazz, too bad she has a penis.
Oh, my. All right, well, there you go. Again, ladies and gentlemen, anywhere else, any other time, that guy would have been called transphobic. But you know what? Even the judges on America's Got Talent were on the floor rolling. I think people are just done. They're done. It's time to go back to Archie Bunker days where we can poke fun at ourselves. All right, folks, we got to scoot out of here. Have a great day. We're back tomorrow. Good to have Grace Baker back with us. Be good, America.